And the list goes on down the line. And the list goes on.
And we're live.
You haven't done that in a while. Oh, there we go. It's been a while. Is that the FIFA mug? No?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go, which I still don't have. I don't have the FIFA mug.
It sucks.
Man, he's going to piss. I have to almost piss just watching him. Let's start by talking about WWE's latest Indian initiative. What is that?
Ball toner.
Okay. So I applaud WWE for trying to monetize the Indian market. I applaud them for it. They're doing this deal with Sony 10 in India. That's cool. You know, trying to do something for your TV. What the hell was that?
It's my lotion. I have dry skin, Jimmy.
Okay.
Don't worry. I won't beat off on
you. You're very metro for a small town Kentucky guy. You know that?
Well, you know me.
Yeah. So they're going to call this Indian show WWE Superstar Spectacle. It's going to be a two-hour show. It's going to be on Sony 10 in India on January 26th. They're going to be taping it at Thunderdome next week. Is it going to be on the network too? Because initially yes. They said it would be.
Yes, it will be.
All right. So it's going to be on the network too. They're going to have talent from all three brands. Plus, of course, they're going to feature Indian talent like Jinder Mahal, although he's really Canadian. The Bollywood Boys, they're really Canadian. Indu Sher, Jeet Rama, Kavita Devi, they're all going to be there. What are your thoughts on this? I say, why not? You know, because they're not able to do any live events there. So I say, why not? I don't know what kind of interest it's going to drum up there, but why not?
Without exposing the biz, you and I have had a lot of talks lately about proof of concept on stuff. That's what this is. It's a proof of concept. It's to see if it works. The reception that I've got among Indian fans is half and half.
Really?
A few are really, really excited. A few are like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, I know Jeff Jarrett's involved. He's helping WWE with that market because he's got the Ring King background, right?
Yeah, he should. I mean, he is experienced in that background. I don't know if Sanjay's still around, but Sanjay was a part of that project as well.
Yep.
Abyss, I believe, was a part of that project as well.
Right. We'll see where it goes. Again, I applaud them for taking the initiative. I don't know if it's going to do anything. Because the Indian market can already get regular WWE television, and it sounds like for the most part, it's going to have the look and feel of a regular WWE show, except they're going to have some of these wrestlers of Indian descent featured in some capacity. So we'll see. Yeah, they're making the effort. We'll see how it goes.
And they mentioned the Singhs. They were on Ring Kicking as well. I mean, there's a lot of people that have – Mickey James was on the show as well. I would have her contribute from the women's perspective. Like, hey, what should we maybe do here?
Right.
Jeremy Borash was in it. They've got a lot of people that were on that roster at that time. And that's experience that you can't really go out and buy.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Now, moving on, Impact's Hardcore pay-per-view is this weekend. Omega's going to be there with the Good Brothers against Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. The Knockouts tag titles are back. We have a picture of it. This is Media 3. Impact posted this on their social media. You got Media 3? There's a shot of the Knockout tag team titles. So those are going to be up for grabs. Where do you think they're going with the cross-promotional stuff? Like, obviously now, okay, so Omega is with the Bucks. You're saying that they might reform the Elite, which is fine. If they're really going to go full bore on this gimmick with Omega, it would make sense for him to beat Rich Swann for the Impact Championship. Where do you think they're going with it? Do you think there's going to be more guys showing up on Dynamite? Where do you think they're headed?
I think they should, especially when you got these titles that you just shown. Why wouldn't you say, if you're Impact, hey, you know, we've had Diamante over here on our roster before. They won your tag team tournament. Let's have them challenge for our Impact Knockouts tag team titles. Like, there should be some stuff there, whether it be for TV reps or exposure or just the buzz of, oh, this person's going over there. I think they should implement that because I think that can benefit. A show like AEW Dark, if they have an Impact wrestler on there, there might be like 5,000-10,000 more people that tune into that just to see that person. I think there are some benefits there. But as you've mentioned, we have yet to see how this benefits AEW.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about the tape library yet. I haven't seen any older footage utilized on Dynamite yet. And so I'm gonna wait and see what happens. I mean, again, the people that suggested this is gonna benefit AEW more than Impact is just lunacy, because it's not. But I want to see, because so far, based on what you're telling me about Impact's numbers, this co-promotional stuff's not impacting them either yet. Mm-hmm. It's not increasing the buzz of Impact as a product. At the same time, you know, we've learned this, I guess, from listening to the Vince Russos of the world over the years. You got to give it some time. This isn't something that's going to change the numbers in 1 or 2 weeks. You've got to give it a few months at least before you can really kind of get a gauge. So we'll see, but I haven't seen the benefit yet for AEW, so I guess we're going to have to see. Okay, Matthew McConaughey. Damn it, I should have put this on the regular podcast, and I just got tied up with too much other shit. So he was on Maria Menounos' podcast called Better Together. Yeah. And of course they talk pro wrestling. If anybody has ever seen any of Matthew McConaughey's stuff, he's a longtime pro wrestling fan. Look him up on the Graham Norton show, and he was on there with John Cena. I swear to God that like he was eye-fucking John Cena. On the Graham Norton show. You go back and look up the clip because McConaughey is such a big fan and he was mesmerized by Cena's wrestling stories. We've seen McConaughey. Yeah. He did Thunderdome. He did the – what do they call the people in Thunderdome? Do they have a name for them?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Well, he did that gimmick one time. He did the interview with Drew McIntyre for the network. He's a longtime pro wrestling fan. So, of course, he gets into it with Marina Menounos. She asks him about his interest in pro wrestling and getting in the ring specifically. And this is a quote from him. He said, quote, "You can't say too much about these things, but it's something that interests me." That'd be something to watch, man. Him, I mean, he's a bit older. He's going to be 51. He's always
response leads me to think there have been talks.
And he's told them they've told him to shut the fuck up.
Yes.
Right?
But not to the point to where they'd be mad about him saying that, because they did a huge PR thing about it.
Right. Right.
Like, they wanted people to know that he talked about this, and they should. That's an example of good PR. Them being like, Matthew McConaughey looked really excited about working with us. We need that.
Yeah.
They should be doing this for the Thunderdome every week, Jimmy.
I agree.
They should have a celebrity, a legend, every single week just filming themselves doing this.
Yeah.
With the kid. And then they cut to the pre-recorded video sometime during their show. Oh, Lil Wayne is watching WWE Raw.
Right.
Like, they did that for a couple weeks. Make this seem like it's cool.
My wife noticed watching Raw this week that they had the same person on like three screens at the same time.
Yeah,
And I don't know if that's because they're not doing it live anymore, or they don't have enough people interested in participating, or whatever it is. But they had the same guy three screens on the same television shot at the same time. And so don't tell me that they don't have the availability to do this stuff. And Matthew McConaughey, he's been doing all of this PR for his book from the comfort of his home because of COVID lockdowns. He's available. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you could get him to do more stuff like that. Now, here's a question. Who would he get in the ring with? Matthew McConaughey in a WWE ring. You need him in there with a seasoned veteran.
Ziggler.
You think that's not a bad option?
Ziggler will take care of him.
Yeah.
Ziggler's like, he knows everybody.
Yeah, that's like, not a bad option.
I like the idea.
About the same
Ziggler.
Size, and in a way, they almost kind of look similar.
They'll probably put Braun and McConaughey.
Oh, God.
Against, like, Ziggler and Rude.
Against Ziggler and Rude.
Yeah, they won't care about the brand split or
anything. Yeah, like yeah, or that Braun's a heel now. Although maybe he'll come back to babyface.
Honestly, oh God, this sounds so stupid. Him, like, filling in for Kofi in the New Day.
That'd be entertaining.
Would be very entertaining.
Maybe he knows how to play the trombone, too.
But you know what they'd do? They'd have it be Drew. That way Drew could be like, hey, hey, hey. And McConaughey'd be like, hey, hey, hey. Well, we're buddies.
Yeah.
We're friends. Ooh, eh. One of those.
You think they might do like a Dazed and Confused spoof with Matt Riddle?
God.
Yeah.
That I want to see Matthew McConaughey go up to Matt Riddle and just have a conversation like that. Do you know what the greatest Matthew McConaughey quote is?
I mean, everybody always says, all right, all right, all right. That's what everybody always says.
Did you ever see him read mean tweets?
No, I don't think
Matthew McConaughey is a dick turd. What the fuck is a dick turd? That's the greatest Matthew McConaughey line.
He seems like the kind of guy that would not get at all offended by that shit.
Yeah.
At all. So I like him. I think he's funny, and he seems pretty genuine, so that could be an interesting thing. Okay, Jay White to WWE. Apparently it's complete bullshit. How does a complete bullshit rumor, if it is a complete bullshit rumor, generate steam and momentum and become a thing?
Because when he says it himself, I'm done, that's how.
But he could have meant anything.
Well, I mean, he could have, but it's contract season.
No, but okay, so I know Dave Meltzer doesn't know everything about everything. You know, it's fine. Meltzer says...
Fine.
No, I mean, because...
I know, it's just a reaction.
Well, all right. I mean,
it's fine. It's okay.
No, not everybody knows everything about everything, except I know a lot. But otherwise, not everybody knows everything about everything. According to Meltzer, Jay White told AEW, and granted, it could not mean anything, but Jay White told AEW in 2018 when they were recruiting talent, I have a 7-year contract with New Japan.
That would shock me.
Yeah?
They don't do that.
Ever?
They were putting Tanahashi on 1 year at times. They weren't even signing long-term deals for – Archer didn't even have a contract, Jimmy.
Okay, but unless Jay White's a really bad businessman, why would he tell them that? If there's zero truth to it, why would he close the door on a potential business opportunity?
I don't know. It's hard for me to say.
Yeah, yeah.
7 years? It's hard for me to believe, but I'm trying to find out. But 7 years?
Yeah, yeah, okay. What do you think of this next one? Michelle Wilson and George Barrios, the former co-presidents of WWE, they are starting a firm called Isos Capital Management. It's basically going to be like a venture capital type of thing.
Toupee management firm.
What's that?
They're going to teach you about investing in toupees.
In toupees.
Look at Barrios's hair.
I know.
Come on.
I know. But how interesting do you think this whole thing is, considering how they were able to fund their firm?
How were they able to fund their firm?
Tens of millions of dollars of stock sales and dividends. Tens of millions.
Their WWE days?
Yes. Tens of millions each.
And I mean, they were there during a very fruitful time.
Oh, absolutely. And it's kind of ironic because, you know, everybody, the joke for so long has been WWE wrestlers bust their ass, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, on the road schedules, everything that you say about being a pro wrestler. And they're lucky if they get $300,000 or $400,000 on a downside guarantee. And here was Wilson and Barrios, tens of millions.
Should I start an investment firm? My realized gain over the last year is 24%, Jimmy.
Where do you get that?
Well, I'm not going to turn around and show you that, but my stats, my portfolio.
Oh, you're talking about your stock portfolio?
Yes.
I thought you were talking about what you did for Fightful.com.
No, 24% stocks, 33% Bitcoin.
24% is actually a really, really good return.
Yeah, I know it is. It's real good.
That's really good.
My unrealized gain is 20% because, you know, things have calmed down a little bit, but I'm probably going to hold on to my stuff till hopefully things get normal.
What did you buy Bitcoin at?
I just buy everything on Cash App. I'm not getting
No. That's not what I mean. What price did you buy Bitcoin at?
Earlier last year, I bought Bitcoin at 4 and sold it at like 7. So, yeah, I'm regretting that right now.
Oh, you bought it at 4,000, sold at 7,000?
Yeah.
So, okay.
I mean, still pretty good gain, but I just reinvested like a little bit when it was at 40,000, and when it gets back up to even, I'm just getting out on that.
What's it at now? Last I heard it was like 34.
Let me see.
I'm not a big cryptocurrency guy.
Me either.
And the problem 30, being
36.3.
36. Okay. The problem with the US exchange is if I want to invest any kind of significant money in Bitcoin with the exchange, you know what I mean? I got to see a really – because not only do you have to pay the exchange to do it, but then when you sell it, you have to hope that the margin is still there too.
Yeah.
So it's a pin in the ass. So I don't do a lot of U.S. investing.
It was – investing was big for me last year. And I mean, I've learned a little bit of stuff from you, and me and you shared some things that we thought would be good. And
what was the car one? And then I made a killing on it?
You made a killing on it. I lost a killing on it. And now it's delisted.
Is it?
It's completely delisted.
I got that worked out good. So Hertz. So I told Sean, I said, okay, I've got some info on Hertz. I think they had either just filed for bankruptcy or they were about to. what I said, I've got some info on Hertz. You can get it really cheap.
And well, I brought Hertz to your attention. Then you looked into it.
Oh, is that
then,
what happened?
Yeah. And then you brought that up. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I bought a bunch of it. And then when it started to tank, Sean got a little bit scared. So he sold it. And I was like, no, you don't do that. But he did it. And I held on to it and whoosh, it went like that. That worked out good. Yeah, last one on the list, Dalton Castle.
Yeah.
Reportedly a free agent. Where do you think he's headed? I look at Dalton Castle and I kind of see kind of sort of a John Morrison type. So I don't know if WWE would be looking at Dalton Castle.
I think they should. I think because he's that. I think he'd be good on NXT. I think that he'd be okay in AEW. If Ring of Honor is still in the hunt, from what I'm told. If Ring of Honor loses Dalton Castle, they better make offers to Zicky Dice and Ethan Page and all these colorful free agents, Matt Cardona. They better hold on to EC3 because he is their peak personality on that show. You got the Briscoes too, so I don't want to cut them short. You got to have personalities. Mm-hmm. You've got amazing wrestlers, Jonathan Gresham. You ain't going to find a better polished in-ring wrestler this side of Zack Sabre Jr. or Daniel Bryan. But you got to have personalities. And Dalton Castle is a very big personality. One of my favorite feuds that I have ever covered is Dalton Castle, this flamboyant, colorful guy against Silas Young, who looks like Magnum P.I. And this thing was the last real man. And he's so toxically masculine that he was like, oh, I don't like this guy.
You remember Magnum P.I.? Good for you.
Oh, yeah. And Dalton Castle had his boys, if you remember, his twins that would – like they were like his manservants, Silas Young just hated how feminine they were. So he won their services and had him like changing oil and doing all kinds of stuff. It was great stuff. So
yeah, they've done that with like Missy Hyatt. That's like the whole Missy Hyatt thing. Yeah.
So like outside of Silas Young and the Briscoes, I want to see these characters. I want to see these flamboyant personalities. And losing Dalton Castle would be a big loss for them.
That's long been the knock on UFC.
Yeah.
UFC doesn't have enough characters.
They got Max Holloway fighting this Saturday, and I didn't even know until Shaq hit me up and said, hey, do this video with me. Well, okay.
Is Conor this weekend?
Next weekend.
Okay.
This weekend, you got Impact Hard to Kill.
Yeah.
We've got Conor the weekend after.
Okay.
And Royal Rumble the weekend after. It's going to
be all right, and hockey's back on tonight.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, James Harden getting traded as we speak. Oh, my God, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm not a big basketball guy. I know who he is. Isn't he the one that he got traded and then he's being a dick?
He's
Houston, right?
Well, he's in Brooklyn now.
Okay. But he's been a dick since the trade.
Yes.
I assume that he was not happy with the trade. He didn't want to be traded?
He got himself out of shape and just has underperformed. Not the way that I like it. It's not the way. I don't like people doing business like that. That's terrible.
But then his trade value is low. What are they going to get for him?
I don't know. I guess we're going to find out in minutes.
Okay. All right, that's all I got for you, bud.
Till next time, we're out. Subscribe to Fightful on YouTube for the latest exclusive podcasts, interviews, and news across boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling.